Hello, and welcome to episode 111 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me for this week's chat about the big old world of comics is the writer, artist, and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The world's number one MacGyver cosplayer, Tony Esmond.
did you look at those images I sent you from a thousand yards there?
I did.
Yeah,
craziness.
That last panel is literally how I feel about everything in the world.
Yes.
Should be putting that up on the page, just so we're aware. But get it if you can. There you go, early recommend. There you go.
Yeah, you're going to hear more about that in a minute. And this week, you can hear him giggling away in the background. We're joined by the artist of great works, such as The Intercostal, and the latest attempt to turn comics on its head and into something that will read you as you try to read it, Found Forest Floor. Now, that sentence may not have made much sense, but this man always does, and we love him for it. It's Gareth A. Hopkins. Hello, sir.
Hey. Hello, you're right. I've really been trying to giggle less. I want a manly ho-ho-ho laugh. okay.
So you're going to giggle all the way through the show, is that what you're saying?
I probably will end up doing that, yeah.
No laughing on this show.
Yeah.
If you hear me giggle, then slap. It's just me slapping myself into not giggling. So,
I hear slapping come from Dan's mic quite a lot, but I never know what that is, to be fair.
It ain't slapping.
Oh, dear. Oh, it's already gone wrong. This week, we're going to be going all convention talky again. And we'll do that in a bit. But before that, has anyone here heard of Comic House?
Oh, that's very smooth of you.
Thanks.
That wasn't really a segue, though, was it?
No.
That was just you with a sentence in front of you that read out.
Don't encourage.
This is the last time that Gareth's going to be on the show. Be quiet, giggler. This show, as always, is brought to you with the help from the fine folks at Comic House, the place where creators can buy and sell their comic books online. And they get money back. They're not just shilling you. Publishers and indie creators can list their stuff for free. And on the website, you'll see all kinds of amazing stuff. Dan, I believe you're going to be putting... Are you going to be putting some stuff on there?
Yeah, Vanguard issue one's uploaded, ready to go. And I've just got to upload the rest. I've had such a crazy week, which I'll tell you about later in the show.
Oh, splendid.
But yeah. It's all going to be on there.
I'm terrible with technology, so I might need to ask what your experience was like uploading, because I'll be uploading The Red Mask fairly soon as well.
It was simple as...
Oh, good. Simple enough for a simpleton like me. Is that what you're saying?
Have you added stuff on Comixology before?
Yes.
It's as easy as that.
Splendid.
Well, it should be piece of piss for me, then. That's fine.
Splendid. Yeah. Tony, you can email us for any technical issues you may need. So it's easy to upload stuff, and there's awesome titles like Vanguard's going to be on there. So, you know, there's no excuse not to check out comichouse.com. And they also put out their own anthology comic, which is in the features section of the website. You know, there's lots of cool stuff coming up. And, you know, we've also mentioned a bit about their app, which they're working on, which is going to be like... It's going to be like Netflix for comics. I say it every week, but I still think just saying that just sort of says it all, doesn't it, really? You can subscribe and you just get access to the whole library. You know, access to a whole library of comics for essentially the price of one big two book a week. So
that's
great. Yeah.
Great,
so it's awesome. So it's perfect for all you indie comic lovers out there, of which we've all seen a few over the past few days. So you can find out more by going to comichouse.com and sign up for more information about the app at comichouse.com/app, of which we've all signed up for, and Tony signs up for nothing.
I don't actually know how to sign up for things. I do actually sign up for things. I think, oh, I hope that worked all right, because do they send you an email? Then I know I've done it properly. Yeah.
Did you sign up for like the free 1 month's worth of Greys? You know, those sort of those nibbly nuts.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Anything we have to put the bank details in this, I will start charging after a month.
Yeah,
I forget.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
I send money to Nigeria a lot, just so I can recover funds. That seems to help.
To that.
Oh, dear, Tony.
What?
I think you're going to need more than technical help.
I agree. If a Nigerian prince is contacting you, it's kosher.
Yeah.
You know,
really genuine. Exactly. Thank you.
Do you think any of them have actually been a Nigerian prince?
What?
not necessarily Nigerian, but I'm sure they're royalty.
Other countries are relevant in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. Yeah. Very true. Anyway, like we are neck deep in convention season, and yeah, we'll be talking about one of the ones that we're all very excited about that's coming soon. But before we do, we've got a couple of events that we just want to just shoot the breeze about, don't we? Do you want to go first, Tony?
Okay, I went to Safari yesterday. Has anyone been to Safari? Have you been to a Gareth?
Yeah, I went to a couple of years ago. Yeah.
I went a few years ago. I'm quite interested
about this because you talked about this on an episode last year.
You did.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Do you know what? I think it was 2 years ago.
God, was it?
I don't think it was last summer. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was two years ago.
Yeah.
I think that's when I went as well.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Do you know what? I didn't enjoy it as much last time I went 2 years ago. I just thought there wasn't enough comics there, to be fair.
Is that what put you off the next year going?
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it was a lot of... I bought a couple of things when I first went there, and one of them was probably the worst spelt comic I've ever experienced. It's like... That was the your issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing winds me up more than that.
So it's frustrating because that's one thing you can check many times.
Yeah, it's just you're or you are. Figure it out. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't have the best of experiences, and I did come away thinking that irritated me a little bit. Do you know what I mean? And there was a lot of mixtapes, and a lot of people just sitting about, not talking to anyone.
Yeah,
It was so hot,
and it's in a big room, but it was so hot, it was unbearably hot, and for some reason, I agreed to take my wife and kids with me, and it was too hot for them to go inside. And then I was carrying my daughter, who's much younger, and she did not enjoy spending time with the other people there at all.
Yeah, so. It was that year. I think we probably went the first year, the same year, but it was just unbearably hot. I think that year, wasn't it? It was a bit better this year,
I mean, I got a bunch of shaky cane stuff and a couple of other bits, but I didn't spend very long there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's not big. It's in a sort of smallish lockup, I suppose, warehouse area, people would call it now. But and it was the previous year, there was a lot of empty tables where people hadn't bothered to come in on time and stuff, which always gets my grumpy old bloke blood boiling. So this year I got there about 10 minutes, 15 minutes after they opened, and it was packed. Every table was full. Everyone was engaging, talking to you as you walk around. There was no sort of, well, there was a couple of sort of humpy faces sitting there. One of which actually.
What's a humpy face?
You know, sitting there just like looking grumpy with the hump. You know, like, what am I doing here? And I'm thinking, you've only been open 15 minutes, you know. I don't mind you looking a bit jaded and disappointed later in the day, but, you know, give it a go.
Yeah.
And, so it was all right. It was quite good. I wandered around, got to speak to Simon Morton, who I really enjoy Simon's work. Have you ever read any of Simon's work? I think you probably like it, Gareth, I think.
I've read bits and pieces. I don't think I've got any of it.
Yeah.
But when I tabled at the Lakes last year, we sold some of his stuff with Simon Russell and Dave Crane.
Oh, yeah, I know they're mates of his. Yeah.
Yeah. Good idea. Some of his books on the table then.
Yeah, very interesting stuff, sort of stripped back, autobiographical, a lot of it. Really, really interesting. And this is, he's done a sort of series of books, a series of comics, images, and sort of bits of poetry and stuff. And I realise Simon, big proponent of comics. He used to organise a Bristol zine fair, I think. I don't know if he's done this year, but that's becoming quite a big deal now. That it's quite hard to get into and quite well attended, as I understand now.
Is that the comics and zine one that's taking place in October?
I think it is, yeah. Mm. That sounds about right. He's really popular these days. I know a lot of people have said to me, oh, I couldn't get in this year because it's too popular. So it's good to see. And it was packed. There was more people there at 11:15, 11:30 than I've seen in the whole day at some conventions recently, put it that way.
Wow.
So it's quite good. I got to have a chat with Shaky. He said hello to you two guys. And he was just fucking hilarious.
Shaky.
And I bought a 1,000-yard stare, which was just fucking fantastic. I'll probably talk about it next week, but absolutely loved it. I will say one thing. I'll tell you who else was there, the Bergen Street Comic guys. You know Bergen Street Comics, which is a very sort of well-respected Brooklyn comic shop that has since closed. But they do Michael Fife's Copra.
Yeah,
they were there. They sort of come over for the event, and really, really good guys. I had a great laugh with them. But I'll tell you one thing I did notice. I noticed the overpricing of comics. Right. Now that I'm back into the sort of getting estimates, and, you know, as we're all doing for our little project, getting estimates on pricings of comics and stuff, and I spoke to Rich Hardiman, you know, a couple of times this week about prices and stuff. I'm beginning to think that there's a few people out there taking the piss, really.
Yeah.
There was, I know, for example, I think I quote this in on the article I did on Down the Tubes. So Shaky's comic was £3, and it's a signed Image comic, you know, 22 pages full colour. And literally two stalls down was someone selling four pages of smaller than A5 with a cardboard cover in black and white, which looks like it were, you know, black, you know, just black and white line drawings. I couldn't really make out properly. They weren't printed very well, with terrible lettering, for a fiver. In fact, I think I'm doing them a disservice. Yeah. I think it was actually £5.50.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of stuff there I would have bought if it was at more reasonable prices. To be fair, Simon's were great prices, you know, spined books, which were well priced. But a lot of the stuff there, I was thinking, really? Who's going to buy that? You know? And I think you got to consider it's got to be down to a bit of greed there somewhere along the line. You know?
I think so. Certainly there's a lot of us like putting out, like, for the Red Mask, you know, that's 24 pages full colour. I'm charging £3.50, and even then I'm thinking, is that a bit much for some people?
Yeah, but that's not even including the fucking most of that's covering the cost of actually physically making it, not the time gone into making the book.
Yeah, it is essentially print costs. I'm not making anything on
none
of us do now.
Yeah,
but it's interesting. The book, Found Forest Floor. I'm charging £15 for that now.
Yeah,
but I took it to an art group I'm involved with, and I showed it to them, and they thought £15 was incredibly cheap.
It is when you think you've got a book, because it's not short, is it? You know, your book. No, I don't know how many pages it is.
It's 250 pages of art, I think. And
words, and it's that's not bad, dude. That's pretty good.
Mm. But even then, I have a hard time spending £15 on anything. So, <Yeah. laughs> I'd sort of wait up on what I'd expect to buy for something. And my own printed stuff, I have a hard time charging more than £3 for it, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I get you. Yeah,
it's that weird thing that's happened to comics kind of across the board, whereas in they're still seen as they should be very cheap and maybe a disposable medium, but actually the costs and the production values have gone up so much that they're quite expensive. Not quite expensive, but, you know, they cost money to produce. It's not just banging it out. But like I say, maybe if something's perceived as being artistic in that sort of fine art, higher art way, you can ask for money for it over something which is branded a comic.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of these people do it, especially in the sort of artier comic scene. I think their head's a bit in the clouds, and they think, well, this is art, you know, it should be very, very expensive. But then again, no, it's a disposable thing that you put in your bag and you read on the train. It still is, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an old school sort of A5 comic size thing in black and white. It's not a coffee table book, is it? You know?
Yeah.
No.
So that was the only thing I came away. But to be fair, Safari was free. It's a free event.
That's great.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, really, really good. I probably will go back next year. And it's good to see people on their feet talking to people, a lot more friendly. I went exactly the same the first time, the first year, as I did this year. People on their feet talking to people, talking about comics, not selling mixtapes. There was the odd T-shirt. And if you look at the article on Never Iron Anything, there's a picture. Somebody's done a picture of a poo or a penis. I'm not sure what it is. I had a conversation with Matt Strott. We couldn't decide whether it was a poo or a penis with eyeballs on it.
That's quite a party game. Mache.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Sure, penis. Yeah.
That'd be a hot one at Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas dinner. It's like that bum crack or cleavage game we used to play, isn't it? That was always good.
We used to play. It's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, clever. Clever, Dan.
We weren't going to talk about that time in the hotel.
We don't talk about that.
And Vincenzo, you went to one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, this very day, as we're recording on a Sunday night, this very day, I've just got back from Froome Comic Con. Yeah, which was a lovely day, actually. It's sort of event, rather than, it's got Comic Con in the title, but rather than it being like, you know, a full-on Comic Con, it's more like a small town that really embraces the spirit of comics, and they have events and, you know, things happen all over, shops get involved, and there's people dressed up as like Star Wars characters, and, you know, it's a family sort of day, really.
Yeah.
Which was great. You know, there's so many kids like walking around and just, you know, whether it be like face painting or like, you know, they come to get comics, or there was a bigger sort of hall, which had like some stalls that had like, you know, prints and, you know, jewelry and like action figures and some back issue. There was a guy selling his collection of back issues.
Oh yeah, you sent me pictures of this, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, really nice bloke. He was literally selling sort of like half his collection just to clear out some space.
Right.
That was the, you know me, I love a bin dive.
Yeah.
Love a bargain.
I love a bargain, me. I picked up a big sort of hardcover book that was all about Jack Kirby, which I thought was a pretty good research considering our upcoming show. I spoke to Tony before the show. You've got that book, haven't you, Tony?
It's the Mark Evanier book, isn't it? With the big fist on the cover.
Kirby, the King of Comics. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because it's a bigger sort of oversized book, just seeing some of that lush artwork inside.
Yeah. You know, I get almost like full-size images of the artwork, don't you?
Yeah. And I picked that up sort of like dirt cheap, you know. I was essentially stealing from this man. But it was just a case of he just wanted, anyone who bought his comics, he was just appreciative because he just needs to sort of get rid of them. And then I didn't get loads, but I did buy a big chunk of Master of Kung Fu comics.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I just started looking at them. I blame it all on you, Tony, because show you normally give me like one issue of Master of Kung Fu.
I do, don't I? Yeah.
And I don't know whether you've been drip feeding me drugs or something, but I just saw.
I've been grooming you. It's referred to as
do you know what? Someone actually said, "Has Tony been grooming you?" I don't think they're wrong. But yeah, I picked up a whole batch of them. I'm looking forward to reading them. That wonderful smell of old comics.
Yep.
Yeah, just fantastic stuff. So I picked them up for a song. And it was just a lovely day, but there was all big shout out to Connor and Lizzie Boyle. You may know them from Disconnected Press, but they're locals. They when this event happened, they were like, I mean, the first year, because I was there last year as well, they sort of said, well, it's a comic event. Do you want to have some comic artists there? Do you want to have some, you know, independent people?
Good.
So they got together with the organiser, and there was a few small press tables. You know, we all just sort of hung out for the day. And no, it's one of those shows where I didn't really expect much, so you get so much more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just kind of down the road for me, and, you know, it's just a great group of people.
That's how I look at sex.
Well, yeah, true.
Don't expect much, and, you know.
Yeah,
don't get much either.
Such is the way. That'll probably change at the end of August. What am I saying?
Watch yourself.
Yeah.
You're in the room with me.
More on that later. So the small press people, we had like Matt Gibbs and Sarah Dunkerton and her fellow Dan. They were there. Owen Watts, we had Gav Mitchell and Emily Owen, Sean Doby, Sam Webster, Danny Abrams and Ian Matthews. So it was a nice little collection of like small press people. And they, you know, everyone was quite friendly and sort of chilled out. And yeah, I sold a few comics. You know, so I think I know Sean did quite well as well, and it was kind of, you have those quiet moments and you're just halfway through a conversation and then it got really busy, you know. And it was a small little sort of room we were in, but because of that, you know, people were genuinely interested in the comics, and it wasn't necessarily your average Comic-Con goer, you know, like someone who spent £20 on a ticket and to do that. It was people that a lot of them don't know anything about comics. And I've brought their kids, and the kids are like, "Oh yeah, this looks great. Can I have this?" You know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So thank you to everyone who bought a comic. You know, spoke to some lovely people, and thank you to everyone there today. It was a thoroughly good day. I'm a bit cream crackered, so apologies, but yeah, it's good time. It helped because the weather was nice as well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, nice one, man.
Yeah. And
it's a bit of a hike for me. I did consider it, but it's a bit.
Yeah.
It's down there. Where is it? It's out. It's south of you, isn't it?
Somewhere? Yeah. It's like 25 minutes from Bath. So it's, right. It's just, yeah, it's in Somerset.
There seems to be so many Comic Cons in and around that area.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But a lot of, you know, you get a lot of these ones that call themselves Comic Cons that just have, like, you know, we said it before, yeah. You know, you've got the celebrity guests and stuff. But because this one sort of makes it an event for, you know, all the family and stuff, and because it was a nice day today, it was just perfect. And it was just, it was just great, like, you know, having, like, young kids come up and, like, buying comics and stuff and genuinely interested. Thank you to everyone who picked up a flyer for the podcast as well. Got shifted to them. So if you're listening, thank you. We love you.
Yeah.
Stick with us. So. Don't judge us by this episode.
Hopefully some of the kids
didn't. No, this
some of the kids didn't pick him up.
Yeah. I have to be careful with that. Yeah. So it was great. And also, another side note, I added my piece to the jam piece that Ian Matthews is doing for the RoboCop.
Nice. Oh, did you? Well done.
Yes. I was bricking
it. Panic a bit. I knew you would be.
I was bricking it, but when it started, I really got into it. I almost spent too long because I was enjoying it so much. I did... Ian gave me, like, reference, which is... He had, like, printed out screenshots of the film. I got, like, the hophead. You know the guy that rubs the shop?
Yeah.
And
Robocop, I know, yes.
Yeah, RoboCop throws him into the sort of the glass cabinet, doesn't he, or whatever. Yeah. I drew that guy because that little scene just has, it just brings up good memories to me when I saw it on ITV, and the sort of overdubbing was so unbelievably poor.
It was fun me.
Yeah, every fun. Time shoots, is it fun me? It is, isn't it?
It's fun me.
It's going, fun
I had it
me.
On VHS fun. And I fucking lost it, and it's brilliant because it's hilarious.
It is hilarious. Yeah, so that's why I picked that one, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And also, Conan Boyle did Ed 209 and Dick Jones, which are two panels. So pretty soon on the group talk, I'm going to post up some pictures of what it's looking like.
If I was drawing that when someone came over, I said, now I've made a mistake. It's time to erase that mistake.
Yeah, so it was great. Yeah, like a really good day. I'm sort of on a high from a nice comics day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was quite nice. And I'm knackered, so I'm just going to let everyone else talk now. But yeah, so there we are.
Tag me in.
Dan Butch is going to have the hot tag.
Yeah. Go on.
No, you go.
Okay, I spent many hours this week putting together the press release for Vanguard Book 2 for London Super Comic Con. And I haven't seen press release out in a little while, and I forgot exactly how much work it is. For me, at least, I found it a lot of work. The kind of the initial email, trying to make it kind of concise but kind of on point and no spelling mistakes.
I've actually got it in front of me, Dan. It says, what was it? Red me bock tis will good. Isn't that what you put?
Ebook is good. Click link to read.
Buy it or die.
Like, I put all the stuff, like the blurb, it links to like a Dropbox, and it's got like promo images, it's got Vanguard Book 1 and 2 in there, it's got quotes, blurb, the artist, all that kind of stuff, trying to get all the bases covered. And knowing that some review sites copy and paste essentially everything you put in the press release and just kind of slap it on their site and away you go.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna expect it for that. It's not too bad.
At least you're getting out there.
Yeah. Someone tagged me in on a tweet, and I was like, oh, that's exactly what they've done. So, okay. Didn't expect to be that quick. So, it's out there now. But kind of, I had a lady at work who does kind of copy editing, and I'll send this stuff over to her, 4 or 5 documents a couple of times a day, trying to get all this stuff right. And also getting the second book to print with Comic Print in UK, which are... It's fantastic service.
I mean, you know, we all joke with each other every week, but seriously, Dan, the book looks mint.
Oh, thanks. Cheers.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realise what issues were in the book, so when I was reading them, I thought, oh, God, is this bit again?
Yeah. I was reminded about, you've got Vander's cover in there as well, haven't you, which is good.
Yeah. I made sure to quote, it's got Brian Vander's issue 7 cover in the contents at the front. And on the press release, he's mentioned as well. So
there you go. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
A good nod to Brian there.
You'll have to make sure I must get one for Brian from you to take out to New York.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one.
Yeah, he did seven.
And
eight.
Sorry.
So, I compiled. I spent some of the week compiling email addresses of reviewers.
Yeah.
And after your note, Tony, I was very stringent with the addresses I was putting on there, so I didn't put personal addresses.
I got included by a creator who will remain nameless, who I thought I was having a private conversation with. He took my email and put it, because I've got one just for reviews, and he put it on. I think it's an Australian list of names, and I get the most out the blue emails from people, you know. And I started saying to people, "Look, where did you get this from? Where did you get my email from?"
Yeah.
Because
if it's something at comic website, that's fine. But if it's a personal one, I'm a bit dubious about putting on it, unless they specifically said,
"Yeah, unless you just create an email for yourself or something like that." Yeah.
So I've got that list, and I was thinking about putting it on a Dropbox or something somewhere, so people in the group could access it.
Survivor, we can send it to them.
Yeah. There's about 120 reviewers on there. So
that's good.
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
Dan Cheebs, obviously.
Yeah.
Is
be a good way to raise some money for the. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah,
we will indeed. So we might as well start, haven't we?
Yeah.
Some of you may have heard us talk a little bit about the upcoming London Super Comic Convention over the past year. I think we haven't mentioned it that much, have we? Just once or twice.
Nah, not at all.
A little bit. no, in all seriousness, it's looking to be one hell of a show, and it will actually be that time of the year when the ACP powers unite and share a table.
Ooh,
yeah,
the sexiest of times. And we're going to sell some comics and merch and generally go about being all badass and stuff. That's what we do. But instead of 2 days, it's going to be 3 days. Of sharing each other's body odor.
Dude. Jesus, by Saturday night after the whole day of standing on Friday and then Saturday.
Anyone who heard the special last year will know at the end of London Super Comic Con, we were all a mess. So this year's show is going to be hilarious when you have the last bit of audio.
Not a big as mess as Baracus. Baracus was quite a mess.
Oh, God. Yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah. Now, we're going to tell you what we're going to have at the show, because we are going to have some goodies, who we're looking forward to seeing if we can. We're not going to make any promises, because you never know at shows whether you can see people or not. Or, if it was like last year, and it was Frank Cho, I just completely bottled it and ran away.
We're going to try and get Bendis, aren't we? He's the guest of honour, but, you know, who knows? We'll message him in advance. If you know Brian Bendis, then please send him to our table.
Yeah. Brian, get your people to call our people. Let's do brunch. But if all of that wasn't enough, we're actually going to take a look at the convention from the perspective of a group of people who, let's face it, don't get enough shout-outs and high fives.
Yeah.
These are great people who help out at cons, either with exhibitors or visitors alike. Those mighty volunteers, those lovely smiling faces that do whatever they can to help you. And now, Gareth happens to be one of those fine people. And in fact,
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm the smiley one.
Well, you're always nice when you're around
us.
I do
my best, I didn't have a lot of time, so
Because you did 2000 AD as well, didn't you, Gareth? You did it.
Yeah.
You've done a few.
Yeah, good one. Yeah.
Last year's LSCC was the first time we met you, wasn't it? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh, look at how our relationship.
I can actually remember saying like he's a dude. He's all right. And then he was, and is.
There you go.
Desperately trying to reel that one back in.
So we've got Gareth here to talk a little bit about that. We want to stress from the outset, you aren't talking in an official capacity, are you?
I'm definitely not talking as an official part of the membership team. No.
Yes. Those fine people who actually organise the whole thing, we're not going to say this is all lore and this is coming from them. We love them all, but we just thought we'd get Gareth on because it's a great sort of chance to get a look at like a slightly different perspective of a convention that you may not get before. So, and we just like talking to him.
Exactly.
It's going to be a right loving. So to start us off, now, how did you get into the volunteering game and how do you actually find that experience? Because you've done it a couple of times, so I'm guessing you quite like it.
Yeah, I think this will be my fourth LSCC, and then there was 2000 AD as well.
I didn't realize you did four. I didn't realize you did that many.
I missed the first one. I couldn't do the first year, but I've done all the others since then.
So you missed the Stan one, because that was the Stan League, wasn't it? One.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember
that's all that people always ask me about.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah. And then the second year was Roy Thomas, wasn't it?
I'll be honest, I don't know. They all, because the way it worked was like, my friend Vass, who I used to work with at my like proper job, is her brother who organises the con.
Oh, okay.
And she said, "You're a geek. Do you want to come and volunteer and help out?" And I was like, "Yeah, all right. I'll give it
a
go."
She said it in a complimentary way instead of "You're a geek."
No, she didn't.
Yeah. Oh.
Gareth smoothed the edges on it a little bit for us.
She'll be there. I'll remind her. And yeah, so she asked me to volunteer. And at the time, I was sort of like broadly a geek, but I wasn't super, super into comics at the time. And that was when I sort of, that was my gateway into like properly having a comics problem. Thing.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
I was really looking forward to seeing Chris Weston, because he did one of my favourite ever comics, Killing Time, Indigo Prime story. So I was really looking forward to seeing him. And then I just walked up and chatted to him for a bit, and then walked away. I was like, this is an amazing way to spend a weekend. So yeah, and then I just got into it. And the first year, they didn't really know me at all. So I sort of left to my own devices. I sort of wandered around making a nuisance of myself. But then the year after that, they asked me to sort of help out on Artist Alley, because I sort of had a bit more knowledge. Because a lot of the volunteers aren't comics fans necessarily. They're just people who've been roped in to help.
Okay.
But because I had a bit of knowledge and I guess... I was engaged in it. They asked me to help out on Artist Alley, so yeah, that's where I am now.
Do you find having that knowledge really does help, like on the weekend?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, it doesn't help out, because sometimes the question will be, what time is this person signing? And I'll just have to look at the book and I'll have no idea. But the place it helps is like, sometimes you often get mums with their kids and they'll say, can you find someone who has drawn Spider-Man, and I'll be like, yeah, that person over there drew him at this point. I'll start getting really boring about when they drew that particular run of Spider-Man, and they'll just walk off. But no, it does help. Or sometimes people will walk up and say some of the people there aren't necessarily comics fans, they've just sort of come for an experience, and they'll walk up and say, who do you think is a good artist? Who is a good person to go and buy some comics off? Why has that person got loads of people around them when that person hasn't? And it's sort of like...
So you literally get those sort of questions, because I find this fascinating. Like, you know, I think we take it for granted. You think, it's a Comic-Con, everyone that's going to be there is a comic fan and they're going for the comics, you know. But I find it fascinating that people go and they want to know more, and they want to know where to go to find that stuff. I mean, I think that's brilliant if people are coming to you for that sort of stuff.
I mean, I hope there's going to be more of that, because it being at Islington, it's more of a sort of central thing, isn't it, as well? Islington being sort of quite a cool place. You might get people who just turn up, it's a comic convention, see it as they walk past, you know.
On the Friday night, when people come out of the office, they're kind of wandering around, maybe before they go out for a pint, nip into the Comic Con.
That's what it's great. To open late on the Friday as well.
Yeah, it is.
Late on Friday. And yeah, hopefully we'll just get some people in after work.
I mentioned it, like, on the Friday after a certain time, there's like discount entry to get in. I mean, so to try and capitalize on that passing trade, people have been at the office. And it's like after six, it's...
If you're not going to get a full day of it, it should be cheaper, shouldn't it, you know?
There's a couple of quid to get in, and there's just more footfall and more people in the door buying stuff.
Because the times certainly interest me this year, because obviously it is 3 days. For all you people that are thinking about going, here's the show opening hours. As it says on the website, you know, so hopefully it's right. Friday is from 12:30 until 8 p.m. Which
ouch.
Yeah. That should be a good laugh. I mean, if you think about it, it's the same hours as you probably normally get on a normal Comic Con. It's just
Yeah.
We're gonna have to take booze in with us, aren't we?
Oh god. No, but I think we'll need a pint afterwards. Yeah. On the Saturday, we've got from 9:30 opening until 6 o'clock. That's a long way because normally cons it's like 10 till 5, isn't it? So
yeah,
CC serious game. Sunday is now what we've got here. We've got 9:30 until 2 p.m. for the exhibitors area, 9:30 until 3:30 p.m. for the artist alley, and 9:30 until 4 for the panel rooms.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So just a bit of info drop for you there.
Yeah, that's interesting because a lot of American conventions, the panels run longer than the con floor.
Okay.
New York, I think, runs to like 9 or 10 at night, but the con floor is like 5 or 6.
So how does that work then? Like when people come out of a panel, like it's pretty much all empty and people are shutting down?
Well, yeah, I think because they're so popular, I suppose, over there, a lot of the panels, that they and it's a separate area. Yeah. So I think that's how they do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also it means that, I guess, creators who are asked to do panels can spend as much time at their table as possible as well while it's open.
Yeah, because
Some people do just want to stay at their table and then fit, like don't necessarily want to go off to do a panel.
Yeah,
that does irritate me. Creators who are never at their table, you know, I think that's a bad thing. Actually,
is there any
they've cut down the signings as well? So like, some of the big names have signings, but there are fewer like signing times this year. I think they just expect people to sit at their tables.
Right, good. I get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wondered that. Why would you go and do a signing unless it was a promotion for a particular shop, for example, that was, you know, running something? Why would you go to another table to do a different signing?
Yeah, yeah. If you've got a table, you're just moving to a different table, aren't you? Really?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah.
I can understand not wanting to sit at a table all day signing stuff. But I imagine
bad luck, Dan. You're going to be doing it all weekend.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'll be standing, won't be sitting.
Hey.
Yeah.
but I don't know. Perhaps
who it does work for really well is if you've got a big name artist and they start like a sketch list at the start of the day, then they don't take time to sign stuff. They just say, I'll get this place at 2 o'clock, come and find me, then I'll sign whatever. And then that means the queue is just for people who want drawings. It depends on the creator.
How much can drawings can you get done? I mean, that must be very kind of difficult. To be fair, I think this year I'm not going to be doing any drawings. I'm not doing any commissions for people to pick up because
I haven't done that this year either. Because I remember you and me both did a few, didn't we?
Yeah,
the weekend, but just haven't had time to sort of open up.
Yeah, it's a time issue with you guys, isn't it? I think you should have done. But I think it's caught up a bit with us, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I do not know where this year's gone.
No.
Very concerning.
Because I hadn't been to a convention for about 2 weeks. That's one of the main reasons I went to Safari yesterday. So what was happening?
Were you getting withdrawal?
Yeah, I think so. I was feeling guilty.
I was just looking through the panels on Friday in panel room 3 from 3:15 to 4. There's a Charmed thing. Is that still a big thing? Charmed.
Is it a comic still? I don't know.
It's still a comic.
Yeah,
Charmed.
I watch it in sort of 5-minute snatches. You know.
I'll watch it for that long. It's shit. I'm really sorry.
I've got to admit, I'm not a fan. Fair play if you like it, but no.
People like what they're going to like. I just kind of is there that much fandom? I mean, Supernatural seems to be kind of crazy. Everyone seems to love that. I've not seen it, so I can't comment.
Well, I mean, I'm not necessarily a big fan of comics that tie into TV shows anyway, or continuations of TV shows. That's just me.
Yeah.
Like, some people absolutely love them. For instance, like Buffy had that. Was it
did
season
really well,
8?
Didn't it, the Buffy one?
Yeah. It was a continuation,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I've seen the comics that my wife will read. I've bought her some of the library editions.
One I could never do was pick up a Star Trek comic. Like I can remember reading the comics. Like, is this not the same as Star Trek? Quite slow.
Actually, quite good. Just as Next Gen was sort of into its second or third season, DC put out a few, and they're all right. They're okay actually.
I must say, when I got into like the Deep Space Nine, and like I got bitten by the bug again, I looked up some like comic books, and the art really wasn't that great.
That was the Malibu period, wasn't it? Yeah. With Malibu. Talking about Malibu earlier before we come along, weren't we?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, that's it's a strange period, I think. Definitely. Yeah.
So there's going to be quite a few panels.
Yeah.
This year.
There's loads of them, yeah.
There's a Valiant panel. I want to go to that. We were talking about what we're going to go and see. And obviously, the three of us at the table, we're going to get a chance to go and see stuff, weren't we? So
there's one I can't wait to. It's from 5 till 6 on Friday, and it's Drawing Powerful Heroes, a career retrospective, and it's all about Bart Sears.
Who
a big fan of since he. I can remember reading Wizard back in the day, and he used to do the like the drawing section in that.
He was, he was always in Wizard, wasn't he? I remember when I loved his run on Justice League Europe. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
that was great. I mean, he's got such a
style.
Yeah, such a style.
These dudes are absolutely jacked.
Yeah,
fucking massive. Yeah.
Did he do Exo Manowar as well? Am I?
He did for a period of time. Yeah.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. He did start his own comic at one point about like a chrome lady and a chrome dude.
There's something going on at the moment. I follow him on Instagram and he's got something going on. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, he was one of that new bunch of comics, wasn't it? I forgot because we got a press release about
press release, and we had high hopes they might actually follow it up by speaking to us, and they never did.
Shame. Yeah.
But they've got some topics we've covered, like European and translated comics.
Oh, okay.
Got stuff on master writing classes. There's a good one on 6:30 on Friday on Breaking Into Comics, The Art of Being Talent Spotted, and that's got Will Robinson, Eric Robinson, and Dan Slott.
Okay.
Will Robinson did the cover to El Marvo issue one. Check that out.
Yeah, he's the one who also does those Great Lakes Avengers covers, isn't he?
Yeah.
They
got some good Valiant panels,
yeah,
as well, haven't they?
They're a company, aren't they, which I'm really excited
yes.
to see.
There's one. Go on.
I really hope we get a chance to talk to them, and they're really nice because we've talked about Valiant quite a lot. So I'm a fan of them.
They're doing a portfolio review on the Friday, so that might be interesting.
Oh yeah, that's
to.
Right. Yeah,
it looks like it's going to be. It sort of says from 3:15 to 3:45. There's Brian Michael Bendis and Bart Sears, and then portfolio review, Valiant artist review. So I'll be seeing it directly after that. But there's a couple of reviews going on. There's later on in the day Eric Schultz doing a writer review. How does one do a writer portfolio
review? I think
there's
rules around the writer reviews because Kieran Gillen's doing some as well. I think you need to send your stuff in earlier. First come, first serve. I think with the writer ones, you need to send your stuff in.
Do you know what the deadline happens to be on that? Because if listeners want to
have access to the website and given 15 minutes, I could probably find out.
Because I'm on the website, it does mention about when you give up the writer reviews. When we find that out, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
So there's going
to be a
lot going on.
Yeah. So. Like on the volunteering side, you know, do you do your research beforehand so you've got as much knowledge as you possibly can on the actual weekend?
I have done in previous years. This year there aren't as many of the big name creators that I'm familiar with, to be honest. There's like Chris Weston's there again, Ram V's on there, Rachel Stott, and obviously like the big names like Bendis and Lee Bermejo. But a lot of the names I'm not familiar with. I think it's because they're getting some of the European creators in.
Yeah.
But that's because Humanoids have got a presence this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that. But I think this year, and I'm more excited about the small press people, to be honest. It seems to be people that I know or have.
You want to find out more about, yeah. That's what I like about going to a new show is finding new creators to
definitely
be friends with to discover their work. But I've got a list of the creators who are going to be there. Right,
well, let's go through some.
Shall I just read out the whole list in one go, or do you want to just say them and then if you want to if you want to say something, just jump in.
Okay.
Obviously, the top of the list, Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. I'm a huge fan of his work. I've read pretty much everything he's done. Yes. Yeah, and if you ever listen to the Bendis tapes on Word Balloon, he's a switched on cookie. yeah. in relation to the comics, the creative side, and also the sort of business side of things. I think his wife's his business manager, as I recall. And I watched...
He started off Small Press, didn't he?
He actually drew a comic about him trying to get a business deal off the ground for one of his comics, which is really interesting. I like his stuff. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Is one of them Powers Goldfish? I want to say that one of them is Goldfish.
Yeah, one is Goldfish. That's right. Yeah. I think that's been put out by Image as a trade since, I think.
So obviously you got Lieber Mayo. That's how you say it, isn't it?
Lieber Mayo.
Gabriel Delotto. As I'm going through this, I will murder names. So apologies. Terry Dodson. Terry Dodson's art. How good is that? He's someone that you follow on Instagram or just on Twitter or whatever, and he will say, "Oh, just working on a commission at some Comic Con," and you look at it and you think, "Oh, it just makes you weep."
he's a class act. Art wise, isn't he?
I do
really enjoy his work. Great storytelling.
He works together with his wife as well, doesn't he?
They've done a couple of graphic novels, haven't they, together?
So I wonder if she'll be there.
Is it Moving Pictures, I think one of them's called, something like that.
Wasn't there a racer one that was with Image? Red something.
What's it called?
God, what's it called?
It's something like Red Racer or something.
So I'm hugely looking forward to seeing what he's. I may actually spend money on it on if he's got prints or something.
Oh, I'd love a print from him. Great stuff.
Trevor Hairsign. Hairsign.
Yeah, brilliant. He's been doing Divinity for Valiant, and is absolutely brilliant. I really like Trevor's stuff, and he did Class War back for Comics back in the day, which has since been collected. He's done a lot of stuff. 2000 AD, so you'll probably know him from there, do you, Gareth?
I know him from Dread,
Awesome. It's good stuff. Yeah, real individual style as well. You can always tell a hair sign page. I like it, very good. Yeah.
Awesome. Tyler Kirkham. Now, I know the name. What's he?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Jay Lee is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone we've talked about before that we didn't like when he first started, and now we love his work.
Blossomed, yeah. Yeah. It's a shame that the Dark Tower movie isn't a little better from initial reports. It's not doing too great, because his work on that is great.
Yeah, and well done, Dan, for not absolutely losing your shit just then, because I know it's quite personal to you, the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Well done. Now we've got Leonardo... Leonardo Manco?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Back to Tyler Kirkham. Sorry, apologies. He's done Action Comics, Deathstroke, Earth 2. He's done loads of DC stuff.
Yeah.
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 Okay,
Guillem March.
Not sure.
I kind of.
He's done work for DC, New 52. Batwoman title.
Yeah. Azrael, Death Dark Knight, Oracle, The Cure, Gotham Gazette.
Oh, Azrael, I like that series.
Yeah. He illustrated the relaunched Catwoman title.
Okay. He's got some original artwork for sale as well on his site, so. Might have a look at some of that.
Awesome. Bob McLeod.
New Mutants, my friend.
Yes.
He started New Mutants before. I think there was. I think Sal Buscema did a couple of issues, and then Sienkiewicz took over. But
that's right. Yeah.
Yes. As it says on the website, he created New Mutants and penciled their first appearance, and then the first three issues of the New Mutants series.
Yeah, he did the graphic novel, which is where they first appeared.
Yeah, so if you like that sort of stuff, check this man out. Because at these shows, you see these veteran artists, and sometimes they're not as busy as they really
should be.
Yeah. So, you know, if we mention something on this show and you're like, God, I love that, and you're going to the show, be sure to check them out.
Brian and Mark Lamming were next to Bob, I think, or two tables down from him in New York a couple of years ago, so I've got to have a couple of conversations with him, and I bought a couple of prints off him. He'll have some New Mutants prints that look really nice. I've got one on my wall here, really nice. Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, next one. First time at the show and first time at a UK comic convention. It is Bart Sears.
Yep. Oh, good. Excellent.
Go on.
He did the Violator miniseries, which I do have somewhere.
Yeah. Dan Slott. The man who is essentially...
Has he done a UK convention before?
He's done LSCC the last few years.
Yeah.
And his queues are mental. Like,
are they?
Really?
They're just constant. Yeah. That was the first time I... if you cap a queue, and tell people at the end of the queue that they can't, that nobody else can join, then people will stand nearby and form a secondary unofficial queue to wait for a chance to get in the queue. It's the most irritating thing. And Dan's slot is he's I think they'll probably have a ticketing system for him this year.
Yeah.
So you'll get like 50 people in the queue, and then everyone else will get tickets to come back at a later stage.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Interesting.
Nice. Yeah. And he's always full of energy, that guy. We got Merca Andolfo. Doesn't have a Italian artist.
He's currently
working on the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I should know that. My son gets Teen Titans. I'll have a look. Okay.
There you go. Enrica Erin Angelini.
This is the best idea ever. Okay?
I know. I'm now thinking, why? You know, it's one.
I think we might have put our foot down a little bit on this feature.
Because this is a big list. This is a big list. Yeah. Let's go to him.
It was a really, really long list. Really
I was going to try and do it in one 5%. Breath, but that may have killed me. Right, we've got Francesco Barbieri, Tazio Bettin, Simone Bianchi.
Oh, yeah.
Bianchi.
He does. He did that Thanos miniseries I really liked a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and he used to do some epic sort of Marvel stuff, didn't he? Laura Braga. Doug Braithwaite.
Doug's done some. He's there with the Valiant thing, because Doug's done quite a few Valiant issues, isn't he, recently? Love his work. Nice. Really nice. Yeah.
Mark Buckingham.
Need
to say more.
Yeah, I've told you that story before, haven't I?
Yeah.
If anyone wants to come to the table and ask me my Mark Buckingham story, I'll quite happily trot it out.
Oh God, here we go.
Good story or bad story?
He involves me drinking a lot and demanding that he stands with me in a bar once. Yeah, quite uncomfortable. And that still involves him avoiding me when he sees me. Yeah.
You got David Kaki.
I knew you were going to say it like that.
I know. I didn't know how to say it. Are you all looking at the same list I am?
We definitely are, yeah.
Claudio Castellini.
Yeah.
Mike Collins, who we spoke to last year, didn't we?
Did we? We asked Mike to come on the show, and I sent him a link of the of our last show, which I think was particularly rude. and then we never heard back from him.
Oh, I wonder why that is. Michael Dialnas. I think I've got that right.
Richard Innes. He's really good. He's done the woods for Image.
Oh, yeah. That's a great book.
Oh, nice, yeah.
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 I'm sorry for murdering your... None of them are listening to this, are they? Richard Dinnick. Gary Erskine, or Erskine. How do you say that?
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Lee Garbett.
Yep.
Dave Gibbons.
Legend. Heard of him. Yeah.
I've never heard of him. What's he done?
He's got a book coming out with Tim Pilcher, isn't he, on the art, how to write or draw comics, isn't he, I think. Or storytelling, really? I think. Yeah, because I think they're beginning to sort of roll out some workshops and stuff like that to promote the book.
Nice.
Tim Pilcher is the guy that runs Humanoids UK.
Yeah. Okay, we got Kieran Gillen. Nico Henricon.
I don't know who that is. Sorry about
Gareth,
that.
Am I murdering? I'm absolutely murdering these. David Hine.
David Hine is brilliant. David Hines writes 1,000 Yards There, which I'm in the middle of reading at the moment. It's just fucking genius. Yeah, really good stuff.
Yeah, I've got to get a copy of that. I've not read it. But Bulletproof Coffin is another thing that got me back into comics.
So good. Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
Fraser Irving.
Yep, 2008.
Great stuff. Nikos Koutsis. Elias, they love this because they're looking at this list thinking, good luck, mate. Elias, I'm not even going to try that one. And then Mark Lamming. I've never heard of him. We love you, Mark. Is he going to have a sketchbook? Yeah. Is he going to have another sketchbook this year?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, he'll have a few more new prints as well. Good stuff. I can't say. I know something. I can't say it, but it's I look forward to seeing Mark. Yeah.
Oh, splendid.
Did I tell you that story of when I showed the sketchbook to my wife, Mark Clements, last year? I showed it to him. He's really good. He's a lot better than you. And I was like, yes. Yes.
She's a keeper.
Yeah, that's why he works for Marvel and I don't.
Oh, dear. Nice. Now we've got Anthony D. Lee. Mike Norton.
Yay, Mike Norton.
I love
Mike Norton.
He's just such a funny guy.
He's done London Super Comic Con a couple of times, I think, Gareth. Is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
Sorry. Yeah. Very unprofessional.
Ben Oliver, Guillermo Ortego, Russell Payne, James Petey. I'm putting the foot down on the gas now. Sabine Rich, David Roach, Will Robson, Alison Sampson, Maria Laura Sinapo, Marco Santucci, Erica Schultz, Cam Smith, Greg Staples, Rachel Stott, Danny Strips.
Tim Seeley's cancelled.
Who has?
Tim Seeley.
Well, I wasn't going to read them out because they've cancelled.
Yeah. Is that name Danny Strips? Is that her name or is that something she does?
No, I think she's Greek, so I think her surname is probably something.
Right. That's
she was at the 2000 AD con and her artwork's awesome.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. Brilliant. Yeah.
Really good. Awesome stuff. Yeah. But yeah. So yeah. Lee Townsend, Ram V, who I think one day is going to come on this very show.
Ooh. Yeah, I've spoken to him recently, actually. Yeah, that's good.
Lovely.
Yeah.
John Watson, Chris Weston, the man that Gareth loves, Brian Williamson, Alec Worley, Amas Bansal, Amrit Birdie, and I know he's been there a few years, hasn't he?
Yeah, we spoke to him last year, didn't we?
I am now getting into...
you're almost nearly done now.
I've done the big names. I could be here all night reading out this list, but I just don't have the breath.
Oh, you're not going to go all the way down this list, are you?
I almost did, but we're going to be there. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So, being a... back to being a volunteer and stuff.
Oh, sorry, just very quickly, right down the bottom of the list, and they should be higher up, are Warwick Cadwell Johnson and Robert Ball.
Oh, yeah.
So they're at the bottom because they're like, they've been included in small press, but...
I tell you what, Martin Simmons as well, who's just done that excellent Marvel cover for Jessica Jones.
I'm going to... You know, Jessica Jones has some great covers going on at the moment, but I'm going to put my hand up and say that Martin's cover is the best one I've seen. It's one of my favourite covers that I've seen for a very long time.
You know, I need to get a print of that. Hopefully, I'll have a print of that.
Hopefully, you will. Yeah.
It's kind of a street art thing, isn't it? Someone's drawing her face on a wall in sort of Brooklyn or somewhere in Hell's Kitchen.
Just the look of her face on like that piece is just awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah. When you've got to follow David Mack on a cover, he's stood up and for that one, definitely. Yeah.
Amazing. I'm as pleased as punch to be sitting next to Avery Hill.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get on to our table.
We are going to annoy the fuck out of them, aren't we? Let's face it.
We're annoying the fuck out of everyone.
Have you seen Dave from Avery's news today?
Yes. Yeah, we sent him a congrats. Yeah. Yeah, congratulations, Dave, who got engaged today, didn't he?
Hey, congratulations. Yeah.
Congratulations, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm saying that like I know him. I don't know him. I just saw him.
But no, he'll appreciate it. He will appreciate it.
He will. Yeah, he was a great guest on the show as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
laugh.
Superb.
Yeah. I remember talking to him about a chocolate TARDIS at Nottingham last year. there's a story for another time. So being a volunteer, is there anyone that's certainly piqued your interest that you want to check out that you can think of? Yeah, I know you say you're slightly more interested in the small press, but is there any certain books that you think, oh, I've wanted to check out that for a while, you know, and you're gonna make a beeline for it?
The new shaky one with David Hein, Thousand Yard Stare, I'll definitely be getting that. But other than that, I don't tend to spend a lot of money at LSCC just because I don't get the opportunity to. So I'm usually just sort of working. So I say working, it's just standing about.
But it is work, though, isn't it? You know, you've got to put up with people who are making their own lines, and then you have to help out exhibitors, etc.
Yeah. Apart from the fact that you're there just for the ladies, which obviously is true. Yeah. For the ladies.
Well, yeah, but I don't answer that. Yeah.
What is the draw to being a volunteer? You know, so what prompted you? You thought, oh, I'll get early access to the hall, or, you know, like helping organise things, or... You know, what was it sort of prompted you to do it the first time, Gareth?
I think the first time was just because I'd not been to a Comic-Con and it looked interesting. So that was the first year. And then I just found that, because I used to work in like retail for Tesco's, and I used to work for McDonald's as well. And the only thing I liked about those were talking to customers.
Right.
It's like them coming in and like just having a quick chat about whatever and then moving on. And I like the same thing volunteering for cons, just like helping someone out, or if it's slow, then just go and like hang around someone's queue and just talk to someone about what they got during the day, and just sort of like the chance to be useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, yeah, it's just that wanting to help out. And then the 2000 AD one was exceptional, because I realised about 2 weeks after that, because the actual day was quite hard going, but I realised about 2 weeks afterwards that for one day I was an official droid for 2000 AD.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
That's a rare honour. Not many people can claim that.
No. And I was if I'd said to my 12-year-old self, you'll get to work for 2000 AD one day, I'd have just not believed it.
And they still talk about them being droids, don't they? If you listen to the podcast or any of them talking, they do call them lettering droids still and stuff like that, don't they, you know?
And they still talk about Tharg as well. Like,
yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
And that was a good day. That was a long day, but that was a good one to do as well. And what was especially nice about the 2000 AD one was that a lot of the people that went, because the ticket was quite expensive.
It was.
A lot of people that went never been to a con. They were like 50-year-old men who didn't know that anybody else shared their hobby.
Yeah.
And they would go in and just like finding loads of other people like them. I mean, it wasn't nearly white men, apart from like a select few others.
And it's called it.
But it was really nice that suddenly these people could share their hobbies, and they're so excited. They're just wandering around going, like, Carl Sisko is a real person. He's sat over there. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
What else was, like, the when people were dressing up in costumes, it was because they had such a massive love for the source material, and it was so evident when you spoke to them.
Yeah.
They weren't just there in a costume because it was an event. It was because they really liked the character and they really liked the comic. And you could really tell that. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite comic convention experiences, I think, pretty much ever. Because it was that big year, they got pretty much... It was a who's who of 2000 AD, pretty much, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from Morrison and Moore, who was missing? Very few. Yeah,
nobody that I can think of now.
Yeah.
It's strange why they don't do more of them. Not saying every year, but at least every few years.
I think it was a lot because Owen Johnson was the person that actually organised it. And I think it was a lot of effort. And he did a good job. I mean, I don't think anybody there had a bad time, and everyone was like, loved it. Yeah. But I don't think he'll be doing it anytime soon.
I think he got kept on because of that. He was employed to do that, and they kept him on, didn't they? Am I right in thinking that?
I think he's in production now.
Yeah, you're right.
Nice one.
Cool. Yeah. So, do you have to? Would you, as a sort of helper, do you have to turn up like 2 hours before, set the tables up, meet the guests, or do you tend to go up the night before and meet the people as they get to the hotel, or do you have to pick them up from the airport? And does it entail that sort of thing as well?
I'm not that involved. Some of the other people do. So, so some of the organisers' family, they'll do airport runs and stuff, and then they have a totally different relationship with those creators that they've been to pick up, because they don't know anything about comics. They just know that there's a really friendly person who remembers them from last year in the back of their car, having conversations about kids and stuff, rather than So I don't do that much of that stuff.
That's interesting you put it that way, Gareth, because there's a lot of comic fans who would love, for example, to pick Dan Slott up from the airport and have a conversation about Spider-Man with him, on the drive through from Heathrow. There is that to it, isn't there, I suppose? I don't know whether these people would rather not have someone who was a fan. They could just have a conversation with, oh, look, there's the London Eye.
I think it's probably refreshing not to talk to someone completely about comics.
You've got three days
of it, of the questions, so just have a normal conversation. Because it's work at the end of the day. So, who wants to talk about work 24 hours a day?
I suppose it depends on the character, doesn't it? But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it depends on the person. But I know that, like, Howard Chaykin, he knows all the organisers just to talk to now.
Right, cool.
And he's just really professional about how he goes about the cons. So he'll spend all day at his desk.
He really did, didn't he? Yeah. He's quite frightening, though. I love his work, and I've managed to speak to him a couple of times, but having heard him on a couple of podcasts where he's shouting at his assistant, I think, Oh, is he?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I think he does it sort of slightly humorously. Do you know what I mean? But I'm an absolute fan. Now, having met him, he was extremely charming, and I only wish I could have afforded to buy some of his artwork. But never meet your heroes. I suppose is part of it, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if I had to go to the airport and pick sort of John Byrne up or someone, I'd think, and he turned out to be a right James Hunt, then I would put me off. You know what I mean?
So,
yeah. John Byrne would insist on driving, and then
on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
Asking random people in McDonald's at the services if they'd seen his Fantastic Four run and what they thought of it.
Yeah. They're just like, have you been reading my Star Trek comics? They're the best Star Trek comics.
Yeah. No, they're photo comics. Not what you're talking about.
So as a side note on John Byrne, because I'm a bit obsessed with some of his old work, but I really recommend, there's a John Byrne Says account on Twitter.
Yes, where, I follow it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
I've never seen, is it him or not? I don't know.
No, it's not. So it's somebody that used to be a member of the John Byrne forum.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he'll just like copy and paste stuff that John has said in the forum. And then when it's his voice, he'll say, not JB. And then he'll have a little mini rant about Byrne's behavior.
Because I've been seeing that account conversing with Eric Larson over Twitter.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, no, I like that. I follow that myself. I'm a huge John Byrne fan, and then I've not met him, and I would like to. But you know, it's the old never meet your heroes. We see what happens.
That's it. Yeah, because I'm quite boring about it, but I'm obsessed with his Alpha Flight run at the moment.
Oh yes, yeah.
I don't think he likes it at all. So I don't think I have anything. Well,
didn't he decide just to swap? He swapped with the Hulk, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, with Bill Mantlow and Mike Mignola.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And then there's obviously the famous only white, almost completely white issue, isn't there? Where it happened in a snowstorm.
There's a completely black one as well, where the lights turn out.
God.
And that sort of stuff I love, because I think he was doing Fantastic Four at the same time. So he's doing two full-time writing and drawing two books. So I think there must have been points where he's just gone, right, I'm not drawing anything for five pages and just send the script to the letterer.
I actually think that Fantastic Four run is some of his best. I mean, I love the X-Men and his stuff with Terry Austin, but that Fantastic Four run is incredible, you know. So he tries to outdo Kirby in many ways on that run, doesn't he? He touches a lot of the points that Kirby touches in his run in it. Yeah, beautiful stuff. Yeah, really good.
Got to help him when he's at a show and Tony Esmond's in the same area.
Humping his leg.
Yeah. So all those exhibitors going to London Super Comic Con, we're looking forward to seeing you there. Show some love to those lovely volunteers, like Gareth and all
too
the
others. Too much love. I am busy.
All right. It's a bloody diva. You're giving these good people a bad name, Gareth.
No, I'm just saying, there's a certain type of love that's appropriate for the floor, and some which is appropriate for late in the day.
And the hotel room.
Depends what the floor is. If it's carpet,
then there are doubles toilet.
Not doubles toilet. There's a big span of experience.
On floor versus just a literal floor.
Yeah. Don't have sex in a portaloo because the doors open after 15 minutes. Not that it ever took me that long.
You could be done about three or four times, couldn't you? Yes. But if you're going to the show, obviously the awesome pod does have a table there. We are table number 8.
Yes.
Number 8. Actually my lucky number. So hopefully it goes well. Now you'll be able to find us between, I think, Avery Hill and I've forgotten the creator now.
That chap's name.
Shame on me. But we are going to have a few things on our table.
Yeah.
Now how do we go about that? Do you want to hear people all the goodies we're going to have?
Because I think so. Yes. Are we going to explain why we've got them? Is that going to
be
fun?
Yes. I'm also trying to figure out how we're going to get all this on the table.
I know.
But it's 3 days, so we could maybe chop and change. Who knows?
Yeah.
Now, before we get onto the awesome merch, I'm going to have like my Red Mask issues there. So if you've never picked up an issue of the Red Mask from Mars, you'll be able to get all three issues, and I'll have some like original sketches and stuff in there that you'll get if you buy issues, etc. Now, Dan Butcher, you're going to have some stuff as well, aren't you?
Indeed, yeah. I've got Vanguard Book 1 back and the newly printed 2 with a load of I'm selling both as packages, but also can sell the individual stuff, which is like the prints of the cover. I've got badges, my new 2017 sketchbook, and some framed prints as well. So
look at you.
Yeah, Table Space is going to be at a premium.
Yeah,
Vince's design, three of design skills
battling.
Yeah, going to be challenged.
I've got some prints as well. So it's sort of
Tony, what have you got?
I've got some Cockney Kung Fu. We did a little tribute to Misty called Fisty. don't read anything into that, please. Because I did. And it's a little bit of a tribute to the Marvel editor who got a bit trolled online. So they're just A4 prints. Come and buy one. Nick absolutely kicked it out of the park on them. Mm. Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, it's a really great little thing. And as well as all those goodies, we're going to have some official Awesome Comics podcast merchandise.
Yes.
Now, obviously, the first thing I'm going to mention is the one that we've been talking about for a very long time, and that is the A3 Awesome Comics Podcast jam piece.
Yep.
Which
you've done the key for now.
In total is 67, or is it 60? Yeah, 67 characters, individual characters. Yeah, small press characters. It's going to be a lovely A3 print. High quality. We don't give you anything less. well, the show is a lot less. But when the stuff you can actually pick up. Now, the prints we are selling for £5, aren't we?
Yep. That's well worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, worth it. And it's jam-packed with amazing independent and small press characters from all over the world. And there's some great creators on there. If you see the piece and you like characters, it is each print is going to come with a key where you can actually, like, there's a list of numbers and you can point out the character you like. And that's almost harder work than putting the print together.
When Vince sent it over during the week, I was like, that's a bit of work.
Yeah.
That's a bit of work.
Fuck, I don't have to do that.
Yeah. Just get me a pint on Friday, that'd be all right. But that's
you know what you're like.
That's awesome in itself. And we want to say a big thank you to anyone that has allowed us to use their creation in this print.
Yeah.
It will be launched at London Super Comic Con. I know some people in the US want to get it as well, so we will be trying to figure
make
out
it available.
Yeah, how to make it available for you guys as well. But that's going to be awesome. So, and we're also going to have T-shirts.
Yep.
Hey!
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to have Small Press Comics are Awesome T-shirts. We're going to have them in sizes from medium to extra, extra large. It's not... Well, we don't have huge print runs of everything because we are essentially small press like everyone else.
Funding it ourselves.
Yeah. When they're gone, they're gone. But let us know if you want us to, you know, what day you're going to be there and if you want to grab one. Now, those T-shirts will be £10 each. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a bargain.
Absolutely. Is that what they are? Oh, okay. Yeah. That was good acting. Bit of acting there.
Yeah. See? That's all they are, Tony. See? And we'll have the a similar small press comics at Awesome Badges, which are a decent size. Dan Butcher knows because he got some badges similar size.
Yes.
Yeah.
They come out like fucking dinner plates. They're huge.
Oh, do they?
So if you don't want it as a badge, you can use it as a frisbee.
Well worth it.
Yeah. So, and everything...
We're also thinking of having a little raffle, aren't we, as well, on the... I'm bringing along some stuff. A little bit of a raffle. I'll probably do the Saturday or the Sunday, depending on, as we say, table space.
Yes. Yeah.
So and there is a reason for all this. Are you going to explain it, Vince?
Well, yes. I think now all the merch and everything that we have, obviously, it's not going straight into our pockets so we can buy salt and vinegar crisps all weekend. it's going to be cheese and onion crisps, and I'll tell you what.
Yep.
No, everything that we have is basically going to go into the funding of the Awesome Comics anthology.
Yes.
We had a little heart to heart and a little planning session.
Sensible chat, didn't we?
Yeah. Because I know we were initially going to talk about Kickstarters and doing a Kickstarter, but then we dispensed with that idea to sort of say, look, we're small press, we're doing this all ourselves anyway, so let's fund it ourselves. Fund it ourselves.
Yeah.
So, but
and we had a lot of interest. You floated out the idea of the T-shirts, and quite a few people messaged us and said, "Oh, I'd like one."
Yeah.
And we thought, "Oh, well, maybe that can be the way we can finance the first issue, rather than the sort of long month of, you know, shilling our wares on Twitter and Facebook. We thought, let's do this. And it's a nice way that people can get involved. They can get a T-shirt or a print with perhaps one of their characters on there, or, you know, a badge, or join in the raffle for some lovely artwork and stuff. And, yeah, it's a good way of financing an anthology, which hopefully you will also be able to buy and enjoy, you know.
Yes, because the anthology is scheduled to be released early 2018. I'll tell you what, it's going to blow your socks off, people. It's going to be amazing. But yes, we want to give you people something to take away for being brilliant supporters. So hopefully, we're really hoping all of this does quite well, and we sell a few. So please, if you listen to this episode and you're interested in any of that stuff, we've basically just shamelessly just shilled what we're going to have on our table.
For about 10 minutes.
Yeah, for 10 minutes. But
we're just ignoring the guests.
Sorry, Gareth. Do you want any, Gareth?
I was thinking about it. I just wanted to apologise. That is a good time to apologise for not actually getting anything for the jam piece. But every time I tried to draw a character, it was it wouldn't have fit. I just thought I'd let you know I did try.
You were in contact with us. You did try. Yes, I can.
Yeah, just I can confirm nonsense that. Came out of my pen, so I thought it best not to submit.
While we're talking about wares we got on sale, we can swing it round to our guest.
Yes.
That's a good segue, Dan.
Thank you.
I know he's trying to take my job.
I learned everything I know. I learned off Vince.
Bye. Here we go. Yes, so now after all that shameless shilling, we've also got Gareth here because his latest opus, I can call it an opus, can't I, Tony, because it's a beast.
Yeah, it is. It's a lovely book full of illustrations, and it's not a short piece at all. Yeah.
Do you want to lead us in to get Gareth going? Go on.
Okay. Well, I bought Gareth very kindly offered to send me a copy, and I said no, I'm buying one because I do genuinely really enjoy his work. And it's Found Forest Floor, an abstract graphic novel by Gareth A. Hopkins and Eric Blagsvecht. Go on, you're always the best at describing your work, Gareth. How would you describe it, mate?
Definitely the best at describing it. Right. So Found Forest Floor is, as you said, it's an abstract graphic novel, and I'll just read off the press release that I will. So it's 250 pages of abstract illustration, which were made through a combination of traditional and digital methods, and then they were arranged with poetry that Eric sent through to me. So I suppose to describe the book is easy to describe how we made it, which was... David Gallo, who is a Spanish artist and publisher, contacted me and Eric last year and said, I like both your work. I think you'd be able to do something decent together. And then we sort of talked around the idea for a while by email. And then I was set off to do 250 pages of artwork. So the first, and then I was given, it was a very short time that I was given to do it. So I did 50 abstract comic pages, and I've discussed it previously. A lot of my work is where I've copied other people's pages
or interpreted, I suppose. I know we talked about the secret behind your last work, which is not to be spoken. But the is this an abstract version of something else again? Is it or
no? It's not. I was eager to not do the same trick twice. So. I did 50 pages of abstract comics, but it was based on like still life drawings, photos of my kids, which I abstracted, some pictures of my commute and abstracted that. And a lot of it was, I do a lot of work in a little park near where I work, and there's a statue there. And a lot of it is drawings of this statue.
Okay.
So I did 50 pages of really dense, tight, abstract comics. It took me 3 or 4 months, and then David said, I mean, this is good, but it's not what we want. There's not enough room for Eric's poetry to breathe in this. It's too dense.
Oh, interesting. So you've got whole pages that are very sort of panel comic-like.
Yeah.
And then you've got pages that are more breathable. You know, there's more space to them. Is that right? Or
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there's a section sort of towards the middle, which is some of the original pages that I did without words on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm just looking at them. Actually, funny enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sort of like a nice little quiet bit in the middle of the book. So what I did then was I did went away and I cut those up in Photoshop and sort of relayed them with lots more white space and did 10 of those and sent them to David, and he was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what I'd hoped you did." And at that point, I got an idea of what the final book was going to look like. So in my head, it crystallized, and then I was working towards that.
Yeah.
But just working digitally got really boring really quickly. So what I ended up doing was printing off pages as I made them in the computer and then working over those in ink and in like black and white ink to make variations.
Okay.
Because I was working so quickly, my style was slipping as it went. So using a combination of digital and traditional and constantly like reworking everything kept that style fresh. And then once the 250 pages were finished, I put them into an order which I thought made a narrative. So there's no character narrative through the book, but there is an opening...
shape and form sort of narrative, would you say? Or
yeah. I was explaining to this somebody at a kid's party the day, like a dad. It's like, when you watch a film...
And the kids went, what are you talking about?
Yeah. If you're listening to Snow White, why are you talking to us about your bloody comic? In a film, you've got establishing shots, wide shots, close-ups, and then different shots cut in really quickly. And what I'm doing with this book is that, but without any of the other things which are being framed. So there's like establishing sections, and then it sort of moves through. And then I put those 250 pages together as a sequence, sent those to Eric, and he used those as a guide to put together. And he sent me 50 pages of blocks of poetry. And as you read the book, that's the exact wording that he gave me. I haven't edited any of his poetry.
Shall I read a bit just so people get a sense of what you're mentioning? So this is I picked a page at random earlier, which we were chuckling about. So it's popping chakra pickle fronds from the name of the bear outside your shy white door in blue black syzygy aplomb the helio Nicole, flying fuck foam brazen in wealth, relations unstrained, boinking sky mysteries from ancient hell worlds. But that's what you're getting.
Yeah.
Now everyone is pre-programmed to assassinate the American president in 28 days. But, it's equally sort of quite sort of poignant, and it raises a chuckle almost on every page for me. Is that how you felt about it? Or
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I was going through and then what happened was I'd never lettered a comic before. So and I put off lettering it for a couple of months actually. Then it got to the point where it was I either lettered the book or the book didn't come out. So I put a call out on Twitter, and Ken and Rob Jones and a few other people, Ken Reynolds that is, came back and sort of like started geeing me up on what I could do, and and just sort of worked out. And then
we had a chat about it as well, I think, didn't we? Kindly sent me a couple of pages. Yeah, really interesting.
It was the practicalities of it, so. All the guides on the internet about how not to do bad lettering, and it's all about crossbar eyes and triangles and bubbles and stuff. And I just wanted someone to tell me how to reshape the boxes. Ken was like, "Oh, if you go to free transform in the menu," and I was like, "Oh, that's how you do it." And then I just smashed on. So I did the first 10 pages and sent it out to you and a few other people. So Stuart McCune, Ken. A couple of our friends, and all the people listed as all the thanks of the people who got the first 10 pages.
Oh, okay.
So looking at that, I was, and all the feedback came back the same, which was, this is really nice, but I don't like the font you've used or the fact that you put it in these thick boxes.
Right, okay. And
I instantly just went, no, you're all entirely wrong.
Yes. Good man. But
that feedback sort of held in the back of my mind and sort of informed some of the other decisions. So where I stopped putting everything in thick black boxes, And it sort of, what happened was that I then spent about 3 weeks lettering this. So I was doing it in 10 page chunks. So I'd do 10 pages and then I'd highlight what I'd used from Eric's document and then close it and do a bit more. I was doing some at work, I was doing some at home, and just smashed through it and then sent the pages in to David. And then he sent us the proof. And then I checked the proof for any glaring errors, and there weren't any. And then we released it to print on demand. And then about a week after it was out, I actually sat down and read it cover to cover. And
oh, you told me this. Yeah.
And it was such a weird experience because I hadn't, and this is going to sound, it's going to sound very un-British small press, but I was surprised by how good it was.
Right.
So I think like so many of us in small press have like imposter syndrome where we don't want to say our stuff's good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm thoroughly, thoroughly in love with the book that I've made. And some of it doesn't feel like I've made it because there's so many surprises in there.
Okay. But it's definitely a book I've gone back to it now 3 or 4 times. You know, I read it once and then, like you say, and then I've now been dipping back into it just to read the odd page here and there. It's just got so much to it. You know, it's... Yeah. Gin, shuttlecock, peonies. You know, it's just like time meter, spine white, unity, plough flap. just makes me laugh.
This is the book, people. Tony hasn't. He's not having a stroke on the show.
It's mental. And there's tricks that I put in there on purpose. So as you turn the page, you'll see something that rhymes with previous page on purpose. But sometimes it's an accident.
Okay.
Because it did a lot.
I mean, I just looked at a couple of pages and I can definitely see some almost reflections of faces and movement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a certain stuff you can read in.
Sorry, go on.
No, sorry, mate. No, go on. You.
I was about to say some of the same panels turn up again and again, and sometimes they're in different positions. But so it causes that sort of rhyming in the images through the book. And then some of the stronger, obviously, Eric, the way he writes is he likes particular words. And so he'll use the words that he likes rather than them having. So the word tractor turns up about 4 times for no reason, really. And it's somewhere on the last page. It's one of there's some really. Weird words in there, and I was googling some of the words as I was making it to make sure they were actual words, not made up ones.
Right. How's the reaction been to it?
It's been limited so far because we released it and then started looking for reviews. So yours is the first review I've had, and because of the way that shipping works, people have bought off CreateSpace. I don't think they've got their copies yet.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
The copies that I'm selling, I've not even got those through yet to send on, so not many people have read it yet. And me, David, and Eric are all quite keen that people's first experience of it is as a book.
Yeah,
it feels like a novel rather than a comic. I think if you just scrolled through a PDF, you wouldn't get the same effect of it.
It's definitely a sort of a dog-eared paperback I want in my bag. You know, that's how I feel about it. I sort of stuffed it into my rucksack for work while I was sort of working on what I was going to write about it, and it's become a little bit dog-eared, and I'm quite pleased. It's a bit like a book of poetry. It should be read over and over, is the way I see it. But do you think people are more open to this abstract form now? Do you think, you know, maybe 10 years ago people would have turned their nose up a bit about it? And do you think, or I kind of get that impression myself, but I wonder what you thought.
I can only talk from my experience, which is at cons, other people have an easier time selling their stuff.
Right.
So someone will walk up and see, I don't know, someone like, someone's done an autobiographical comic about their time at Scout Camp or whatever, and someone's suddenly got a link to that. They understand what the comic's about, and then they make their decision. Whereas, unless people know me when they come up to the table, they've got to be willing to have a long conversation with me as I explain what I've done.
Yeah.
So I did a thing at the House of Illustration a few weeks ago, and I only sold to 4 or 5 people the entire day. But each of those 5 people, I spent a good 20 minutes chatting to about what I'd done.
Okay.
So it is.
So it was a satisfying sale, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Especially when sometimes we've all had the experience of talking to someone for a while and they just walk off.
Yeah.
But then
they do it mid sentence for me, Gareth, as well.
But I mean, when I was at the Lakes, I was trying to explain 683 without giving away the secret for 683.
Yeah.
And people who weren't into comics were just sort of like desperately trying to get away from it. They had no idea why I was trying to put this thing in their hand. And I think I'll get a similar thing with this book. But I think me and Eric are so happy with it. So after I read it, I was messaging Eric going, Eric, this book is really good. And he's like, yeah, I know, I've been reading it. I've been reading it before I go to bed every night. And we're so happy with it. I think even if it doesn't set the world on fire, we're so...
Yeah, that's the point, though, isn't it, really? Do you know what I mean?
So,
I agree.
Where can people get hold of it, then?
So you can either get it directly off CreateSpace or Amazon. I think it's $15 on CreateSpace or £15 on Amazon.co.uk. I think it works out about the same. It says you get cheaper postage, but the different dollars. Like, so there's not a lot of difference. Or you can buy it directly off me, and I'm doing an offer at the moment where I haven't got the copies yet, so you have to wait a little bit longer. But I'm including pages of artwork in it. So the original pages that I made, you'll get one of those and then a sketch inside the book as well. And that's for £15.
It's great.
Bloody great value.
So in terms of actually buying it, on the internet, I'm Girthink, which is GRTHINK. And then the shop is girthink.bigcartel.com. And you should be able to buy it from there. Or if you go to the intercoastal.com, there's links from there to the CreateSpace. And if you go on amazon.co.uk, you can just Google my name and I'll be top of the search.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, I know Amazon have their issues, but I was desperate to read it. So I'm being a prime customer. I got mine the next day. So very good.
Yeah.
I think I genuinely think people will understand it if they give it a go. I think, It'll make a happy addition to anyone with half a brain, anyone's shelf, something they can pick up and have a giggle or have a look at and be inspired by or have a laugh at.
I think the thing, as you've sort of done just now, you like flip to any page and it's either got a sense of sentimentality about it or it's just ridiculous. There are stupid things in it that, I mean, there's laugh out loud, and there's sections to it, but the punchline to one of the sections is wanking equator, and then you've just got two empty pages, and that's what you're left with. That's what's going to echo in your head for two empty pages. Just for
that'd be an achievement, getting to wank on the equator. You know what I mean?
Oh god!
Neither in the northern or the southern hemisphere. That'd be brilliant for either side.
We heartily recommend any of our listeners check out Gareth's work there, because we need comics that are doing something a bit different, you know. And challenge you, and I mean, we all love the superheroes and all of this. I mean, Gareth bloody loves 2018 superheroes, but he's still putting out something that's different.
You do both, you can do everything, can't
exactly
you?
And you should read everything, so it's gonna be awesome.
You for giving me the chance to just chat about absolute shit about it, because I genuinely love it. And
you need to stop.
Do you know what? That's amazing that you love it. It's where it should be.
Yeah,
it's where
you need to start a rumor that, you know,
I love my book so much. It's really good. And she's like, you're the first person I know that's been surprised that their book's good.
You need to start a rumor that if you read it out loud, it will summon the devil or something like that, and get the old goth pound note.
Oh yeah, we'll get that going. Yeah. We'll get that going.
Yeah.
Speaking of shouting at the devil, do we have any shout outs this week?
I've got a couple.
Go for it.
A couple.
Shall I go first?
I've got none, so go on.
Oh, good. There you go. Pre-Mass, which is the book from Sash Comics that we got sent through very kindly, which is a sort of honest and very beautifully told story about a really horrible incident in relation to prostitution from one woman's account in Brazil. And that has just hit Kickstarter. So if you go to Pre-Mass, P-R-I-M-A-S, on Kickstarter and
give
a few
book.
Quid. Amazing book, yeah. True Believers Summit Variant Edition is this Saturday, so make sure you go down. It's at the Blackfriars Priory, Lady Belgate Street, Gloucester. And there's absolutely loads of people you will have heard on this show and others popping along. It looks like a really good show. A really good sort of idea to have this sort of mid-year just celebration of comics. So pop along to that. And finally, big shout out to Matt Strott and John Lake for finishing Late Nights. Their new all ages comic book, which hits Kickstarter on the 18th, and
brilliant.
I think that's a love connection that we almost put together. I think both were listeners. Am I going to say that?
A love connection.
A love connection. John will love that. John will be all over that. I'll get some kind of weird voicemail from him. But yeah, no, it's brilliant, and they're two of our favourite creators doing just a really fun book. We got to see some of the pages earlier in the week, and. The unlettered pages, and Matt's killed it on it.
Yeah, if he's not careful, really, he's going to be a guest in the future. So.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah. And John's rightfully so got him as a collaborator and put together a. And I got John's mailer today. He puts a sort of weekly mailer out, and he talks about all ages comics, and I think there's a need for it definitely. And this Matt's got some great designs there as well.
Awesome.
There you go. That's my three.
I've got two.
Go for it.
One. Going a bit traitor against the London Super Comic Con. If you're looking to get a table for MCM London, the phone line opens up on Tuesday, 8 o'clock. It's rather tricky to get a table at that venue and that exhibit, so kind of be prepared to be pressing that redial button many times over. So good luck if you're going for that. Yeah. And another quick shout out to the Demon Archives Kickstarter, which is still to meet its target. We've still got a couple of weeks to go. Dan, the writer, heard us talking about it last week, and we're now quoted on the top of the Kickstarter page.
Okay.
You click the link and you go to... I wish I'd have worded it a little better. It says, "The Demon Archives is a fantastic webcomic, really good science fiction, high concept, kind of cyberpunk stuff. I can't recommend the comic enough. It's really good. It's one of the better webcomics out there, in my opinion."
Yeah.
So I wish it was a little more poetic, but there were the words that came out of my mouth. So.
These are the words that I am saying. Who are you, Jackie Chan? Yeah.
So definitely check that. It's a fantastic comic. It's really good.
Yeah, great stuff.
Excellent.
So now we're going to get to the recommendation section of the show. It's been another epic one. I'm actually shattered after the convention, so mine's going to be short this week. I had more of a smaller press one lined up this week, but I'm almost too tired to do it justice. So I'm going to do a more mainstream pick this week.
Oh,
short and sweet. Shall I go first?
Yeah, go
first.
Yeah.
Screw it. Secret Empire.
Yeah. How good was the art in that? We were talking about this earlier in the week.
Yeah. Now, Secret Empire, obviously, it's been getting... it's been in the news a few times for different reasons. Not many of them that valid, if you ask me. I don't think many people are sort of looking at the story that it's telling. But the art... And, I mean, I'm loving the story. There's been a couple of bits of art during the run I have not been a fan of. But in the latest issue, which was issue 8, it's just a home run. Every single page is a home run. From the pacing, the story. We're at this sort of issue 8, so we're at that part of the arc where, you know, the heroes have been beaten down and beaten down, and now it's starting to turn. You know that classic part of the... You know, because after 7 issues of just... You do get a feeling of, God, they're never going to get out of this. Everyone's just stuck or smashed or, you know, they're locked out, and it's starting to turn. And in such a...
We can't ruin it because it looks bad at the start, doesn't it?
Yeah, no. I don't want to ruin it, but there were moments that made me cheer inside. There were lines that made me laugh. And, like I say, the art was just epic. Yeah, so please get involved. I did not read this series from the start. I will say that up front. I have not read issues 1 to 4. I'm going to openly say that. I will read those issues when I get the trade, probably.
Did you just jump in mid-story, did you?
I literally jumped in mid-story. Oh, wow, I don't normally do, but it was like, oh, I've heard so much about this now. Let's give it a shot. I picked it up really easy, got stuck in, knew where I was. And Nick Spencer's just got, you know, people listening to the show know I'm a fan of his writing, but he just seems to get the characters right. And just, you know, you really get behind them. And it's always the first thing I read whenever it comes out. That week that it comes out, it's my first thing on my pile. So, yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
We race to read it, don't we?
Yeah.
Three of us.
Yeah.
And, I know as soon as each of us has read it, we were like, have you read it yet? It's like that, isn't it? You know,
and it's so crazy good. Because I'll be honest, again, I haven't really cared that much about a Marvel event in, you know, there's been so many of them that have just been like, yeah.
I've enjoyed an event. Since as much as this for ages, for years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I mean, things like Infinity, I enjoyed it purely because of like the Jim Chung like art and stuff. That was quite epic.
Yeah, but and they introduced those new characters, which but I think we're seeing in the next movie, aren't we? Which I quite enjoyed that part of it.
But not a lot of them, I just haven't been invested. Whereas this one, just the storytelling and just the sort of cutting from different, you know, different groups of characters, just brilliant. Secret Empire, you know. I know some people just like to lambast it for some sort of agenda, but I just read it for like, give me a good story.
Yeah,
it has. So
to make a kind of quick comment about that, people are kind of labour it sort of far enough. I'm not going to make that comment. I would try that.
Yeah.
Did you just say something and then withdraw it halfway through?
Yeah, I thought Barry was saying something on that. Yeah. So.
And who says we don't censor this show?
Exactly. Self-censored. That's the first time Dan's done that. And my last note about it is Mark Brooks' covers on them are absolute stunning things of beauty.
Yeah, lovely, aren't they? Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable. So there you go, Secret Empire.
I've got sketchbooks by him, and they're really great, really nice.
Yeah. So there you go, that's my one. Dan doesn't have one this week.
No.
So I'm going to skip straight over to Tony Elizabeth Esmond.
Thank you. I'm going to do a book that I picked up at Safari yesterday. It was a bit of a surprise to me. I'd heard that they had Bergen Street Comics there, and I spoke to Tom Adams, who's, I think, the owner, publisher guy. And he had what they do, Copra, if anyone knows that, by Michael Fife, if anyone's read that. I know Nick Prolix, talking to me about it yesterday. He's a big fan of it. But they also do a book called Revenger, which is by a guy called Charles Forsmond, if anyone's heard of him. It's written and drawn by him, published by Bergen Street. It's 140 pages, full colour. Volume 1 is called Children of the Damned, and it was £10, which is not bad for 5 issues in a trade. I thought it was very good value. It's got pin-ups in it by Benjamin Mara, Michael Fife, Jim Rugg, and Alex Schubert. So like a real collection of that sort of DIY feeling, hardcore, sort of violent, you know, artists. It's almost like a little club these days, isn't it? You know, that group of artists. And I enjoy all their work. But warning, if you don't like high levels of grim and sort of bloody violence and a certain element of sexual exploitation, and then it's probably not going to be for you. It is to depressing levels of degradation and, you know, just sort of grimness. I absolutely loved it. It's set in 1987 in a town called Neptune in the States. And it's kind of like, it's got a little bit of the sort of grindhouse feel to it. She drives around, the central character is a female, and she drives around in, was it a Mercury? You'll know this, Dan. What's the car that Stallone's got in Cobra?
Oh, fuck.
Do you know, like, it looks like...
Yes, it's like a muscle car.
Yeah, it could sort of run into a train and the train would come off worse. It's almost it's almost like that. But it's basically a story that if you call 1-800-REVENGER, you can get hold of this lady. And it's got a little bit of the A-team about it. You know, if the A-team didn't spend all their time locked up building armoured cars... and when they shot at people, they actually blew their eyeballs out. You know, if you thought that was the A-team, then it would be more like that, probably. So this guy, Eddie, whose girlfriend has been kidnapped and sort of sold into sexual slavery by a local gangster in a local sort of rundown hotel, calls this number, and the Revenger turns up. And after a sort of initial attempt to save this guy's girlfriend and raid both a police station and a hotel, she loses and retreats and sort of... as you know, has a rest, sleep with all her injuries, heals a bit, comes back, and then decides to employ a sort of army of hobos who she pays off in beer, gives a load of guns she stole from the police station to, and then they all these hobos raid the hotel. It's fucking nuts. There's a little bit of the hobo with a shotgun about it. I will admit that as well, which I like. But it's done with this sort of darker than dark humour, you know, real black humour about it. There's just whole pages of her jumping in the air and hitting people on the top of her head with hammers and stuff like that.
I love those pages you showed me.
Brilliant, aren't they? Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I got so excited reading it in the cafe, I was sending you pictures of pages as I was reading along with it, didn't I? Really good. It's all done in sort of really bright light as well. There's no sort of in the shadows that you get in a lot of sort of noirish revenge thriller, especially in horror. You know, it's all seemingly done in the shadows. You can't really see what's going on. This is full in under fluorescent light or in the street under bright sunlight. And all the colours are just almost like sarcastically, darkly humoured, really bright. The blood is like a giallo mule. You know, it's like it just spreads out in this sort of disgusting red mass. One of my favorite panels is a bloke, she hits him on the head and he goes down on the floor, and there's just like four panels of this, the blood spreading out on the pavement from the hole in the back of his head as he dies. You know, it's like it's just completely unflinching. Charles is a super nice bloke. I managed to have a conversation with him, and he did me a little sketch inside the front cover, and he gave me one of those sort of standees, you know, you cut them out and fold them and they can sort of stand up, a revenge away. Yeah. With her in a vest holding a machine gun. It's just fucking brilliant. Really good. There is a second series, actually. I think volume two has just been traded. But go to revengerkills.com and it collects 1 to 5. Like I said, it's only a tenner, and I bought it off the artist, and he drew in it and gave me a standee thing for free. I also bought the first trade of Fife's Copra, which I'll probably talk about sometime soon. But absolutely brilliant, like violent, crazy. It's the sort of thing that the politically correct police would go, oh my god, I can't even talk about it, it's too much.
Dan, this is a book made for you, isn't it?
It definitely is, it really is, yeah. So get that one. And just another little shout out.
I think Revenge has been picked up for TV.
Has it really? Wow,
nice. Because he's friends with the guys that do Silence Podcast, who I know. I think one of the reasons he's in this country is because he's been doing stuff about film they're making from it.
Oh wow, that'd be brilliant. It's got film written all over it, but it's also got that sort of DIY sensibility to it, you know.
Yeah,
nothing is completely sort of, there's no sort of sheen to it. It's all a bit it's sort of made at home, you know. It's like some kid sat in his bedroom going, oh, what if one of them was a robot and one of them was huge and they had a fight and loads of blood came out of his eyeball? It's almost like that, you know. But very good. So that's my first one. Just a quick shout out to Black Road Volume 2, A Pagan Death, which I've been devouring this series. The second trade just came out, by Brian Wood, art by Gary Brown, colours by Dave McKay, which is it's a sort of Viking-esque, a bit like the series Vikings, something along those lines like that. Very violent. I think you'd enjoy it, Vince, actually. I know we talked about a couple of books in the past that are very similar to this. I think you'd like it. Yeah, good stuff. Awesome. They're my two.
Cool. Yeah, brilliant. Gareth, sign us off. What have you got?
So I've got two, and I'll be very quick because I already talked about my stuff too much. So the first one is there's like an art book about Sal Buscema. Called Comics, Fast and Furious Artist. And I think it's part of a series of like master series, and it's essentially one long interview with him, or it was multiple interviews that they stitched together, and then just loads of his artwork. And it is just exceptional. It's amazing. He's often overlooked because he was the younger brother of John. And a lot of the stuff he talks about is his about John Buscema being better than him, which I don't agree with necessarily. But
I love Sal's work. Fascinating book. He's a great storyteller as well. You know, he's done how many comics has he done? You know, just so many. Yeah.
He did a 100 issue run on Hulk, 100 issue on Superman. And then he was doing inking and penciling on other stuff as well. He was just a machine. Yeah. He said at one in the book, he says he hit his stride and he was doing 5 pages a day.
Wow. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. But it's just, in one respect, it's just like, it's nice to read about a friendly old man talking about working hard. And there's just
refreshing
about that. And then the interviewers are obviously trying to get him to gossip a bit, and then there's a few little things that come out. But yeah, it's just a really great book. I recommend.
Oh, I must get that. I like his stuff. Yeah. Mm.
And then at the other end of the spectrum is, and I don't know if you've talked about him on the pod, but Paul John Milne, who you may have seen knocking about on Twitter. But he does, you've probably seen him on Twitter because he just will do, he's done a series of like Warhammer drawings. Mm. But he's got a really loose sort of a I don't know what to call it, a loose extreme style of drawing. And his sort of like influences are sort of trashy 90s comics and trashy action films.
Nice.
And then it's sort of passed through this like really personal filter, and just comes out with these insanely good comics. So the two I've got with me at the moment, because I'm in the process of packing to move, so these are the only ones I've got. There's 9% Horrific Monster.
And right, love that name.
9% Horrific Monster is the story of sort of an action hero with a mullet whose arm is possessed, and keeps eating. He goes after the gang which possessed his arm, and that. But the story is like told really well. It unfolds slowly, but there's one of the things he does really well is like sort of really bad comedy one-liners. So right. They're populated throughout. I think my favourite one is from Void Warrant, which is about a pop star who steals a six-dimensional printer and he's being chased by the Bone Police. In sort of like, but he gets saved by just like this random beefcake woman who she kills one man and shouts, "Hey, you guys, pretend what you're doing is like a magazine coupon. And cut it out," and then she smacks someone in the face. and the book is full of stuff like that. They're so fun to read. I mean, they are gruesome and they are twisted, but they're so brilliant.
I say what they are. They're on Dan Butcher's wish list now.
That sounds great.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend going to find him. I think he's on Twitter, and I should have got this up earlier. I think he's just Paul John Milne. That's how you'll find him.
Paul John Milne. Awesome. I think we'll definitely be looking into his stuff.
Yeah, at Paul John Milne. John without an H.
Yeah. Ah, awesome. He has a loose and extreme style. And I tell you what else is loose and extreme. The ways you can get in touch with us about this episode. I'm trying. It's been a long day. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If there's anything you want to let us know about, and if there's anything in London you want to find out more about, you can email us direct, and we'll talk. We will actually talk to you and reply.
Yep.
You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if there's any events or anything that are coming up soon that we may not know about, we will give them a little shout in the shout outs. Because there's lots of tiny little events popping up, and from my experience today, the little events can be some of the best ones. So send an email to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @theawesomepod, where there is going to probably be some polls and some questions, as next week is the Jack Kirby special.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes. Bring it on.
Kirby King of Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Cannot wait.
Yes, it's going to be good. Me and Dan have got some research to do. So.
And we've got one of our favourite guests coming back to talk about it. Yeah, we know he's a huge fan. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
You may have heard on a previous episode that focused on 90s comics that were in there.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun one next week. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and join the place to be on Facebook, basically, because it's not anywhere else. The group is Awesome Comics Talk, and it's just full of just great comics chat interaction.
Yes.
Whether it's about, there's been quite a bit of process and marketing chat recently, which is
there has. It's been good actually. Yeah.
But we'll tell you now, we don't do politics on our boards.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of forum boards I've been on in the past, and the good standing rule is no politics and no religion.
Yeah.
Because usually that ends up people disagreeing, and we want to keep the board very focused on comics and comic making.
Yeah, that's not what it's about, is it? It's about comics, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's a place for those discussions, and it's not on that board.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
We're all about the good time. Likewise, the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. There's like hundreds of episodes of good time on there. Likewise, if you listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podnose, or the Podknife Network, thank you very much. And if you get a chance to give us a review, please do, because we need it, because we're desperate.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not desperate.
Yeah.
I just like people saying nice things about us. Yeah. We do try hard.
Yeah.
We may fail miserably, but we do try.
But
where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
If you go to neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk, you'll see a review of Gareth's book, which has got some images from it. And yeah, really enjoyed it. You'll see how much I enjoyed it. And there's a little review of Safari as well on there. Or go to Ezoh on Twitter. There you go.
Nice. Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Nice, he's got the rhythm back.
Yeah, back in the house.
Yeah, didn't take him long. you can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. Gareth, you've been a gent as always.
Yes, great fun, mate.
Thank you very much for joining us this week. So
see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, indeed. But before then, where can people find out more about your work, etc.?
On Twitter, I'm at GRTHINK, that's pronounced Gerthink or GRThink, I'll leave it up to you. That's my website as well, Gerthink.com. And there's also a website for the Intercoursal, which is my comic stuff, which is Intercoursal.com. And that's
Nice.
Yes, highly recommended.
Or Amazon.co.uk, type Gareth A. Hopkins, top of the list.
Yes.
Top of the list. Bosh, drop the mic. So there you go, folks. That's another one in the can. Have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. See if you can dig out some Kirby stuff.
Let us
know what you think about it. It's going to be an interesting one next week. And as always, stay awesome. Now, before I say goodbye, I want a one-word review of Sharknado 5 from Tony Esmond. That's how we're going to sign off this episode. Tony, Sharknado 5.
Can I do one sentence?
Oh, go on.
Lots of women with very fucking weird plastic surgery is the best special effect in this movie.
You can't say fairer than that.
Yeah.
Have a lovely week, folks. See you on the flip side. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
I forgot about the Sharknado interview.
It's
terrible. It's fucking awful. It's so good. It's awful. There's at one point, women turn up, and I think, is she meant to be an alien? Because you look so fucking weird.